All right, everyone, let's dive into another fascinating case today. Imagine, you've scored this prime piece of land, right? In LA, no less. Worth a fortune. You're thinking, this is it. My business is going to boom.
Big dreams.
Exactly. But then the city comes along and decides to rezone the whole area. And bam, your land value tanks. Well, that's exactly what happened to Joseph Hatacek.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and his case, Hatacek v. Sebastian, went all the way to the Supreme Court. This one's a wild ride, folks, about property rights, government power, you name it.
You know, this 1915 case isn't your typical government stole my land story, though. It really digs into the city's power to, well, regulate stuff. For the public good, they'd argue, even if it costs someone, like, a ton of money.
Right, so let's set the scene. It's the early 1900s, Los Angeles is exploding in growth, and Hatacek's Brickyard. It's a gold mine. We're talking $800,000 in value, producing top-notch bricks.
Wow, not messing around.
Not at all. But then the city annexes his land and slaps down an ordinance. No more brickmaking in that zone. Suddenly, his land's only worth, get this, $60,000 just for residential use.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt.
Talk about a nosedive. And this gets to the core of the fight, right? Hatacek's screaming, they basically took my property without paying me a dime. Mm. The city's all, hey, we're just protecting people from all that smoke and dust.
Classic standoff. Property rights versus public health. But the question is, how did courts see this back in 1915? It's not like they had our modern regulatory takings concept back then.
Right. So they're looking at it through, what, the 14th Amendment due process.
You got it. Did the city act reasonably, or was this like a power trip? Because remember, the 14th Amendment guarantees that no state can just snatch away someone's life, liberty, or property without due process of law, right? Basically, got to be fair, got to have a legal process before stripping someone of their rights.
So in Hatacek's case, it all boiled down to, did the city cross a line? Not whether he was owed money, necessarily?
Exactly. And you can't forget the legal world back then. Courts were way more likely to side with the government. They basically took the city's health claims at face value, even if the evidence was kind of flimsy, you know, anecdotal. No need for, like, hardcore scientific proof.
Now, there's this one detail that always gets me. Hatacek argued he couldn't even move the clay to make bricks somewhere else. Too expensive. But the Supreme Court wasn't buying it. Why not?
Ah, because they were laser focused on the difference between the property itself and how you use it. The city wasn't taking the clay. See, just saying, you can't use it for that here anymore. That was their big argument.
So like, Mr. Hatacek, you still have your clay, but no brickmaking in this neighborhood.
Yep, pretty much. And they even compared it to another case, Reinman v. Little Rock. The court had upheld banning those smelly livery stables from residential areas. So they figured, if we can ban smelly horses, we can ban smoky brickyards. Logic.
Interesting. They used that analogy to make their point. But hold on. What about Hatacek's claim that he was unfairly singled out? Did he have a point?
He did argue that. Claimed the ordinance was violating equal protection under the law. Felt like he was being picked on.
Right.
But the court shot that down pretty quick. They said, hey, this ordinance applies to anyone who wants to run a brickyard in this new zone, not just Hatacek. This basically set a precedent for what we now call facially neutral laws, right? On the surface, they seem to treat everyone the same, even if the impact hits some people harder.
Ah, so like a law banning all street vendors from a certain area? Seems fair at first glance.
But if that's the only place certain vendors can set up shop,
then they're the ones who really suffer. Clever legal maneuvering.
It all comes down to how you interpret the law, right? And this case really shows how much weight they put on the government's power to, well, regulate for the common good, as they saw it. And remember, zoning was a pretty new idea back then. Hatacek kind of paved the way for the zoning explosion we saw in the 1920s, shaped our cities as we know them today.
Wow, so it's not just about bricks and clay. This case had a huge impact on how cities grew. Makes me wonder, does Hatacek still hold up today? Especially with those later cases like Lucas and Penn Central. They got way stricter about when the government has to pay up for regulations that tank your property value.
That's the million-dollar question. Those later cases definitely up the ante, right?
Yeah.
They set a higher bar for when a regulation goes too far and the government's got to compensate you.
Like with Lucas, right? That established the total takings rule. If a regulation wipes out every single way you can use your land to make money, it's basically the same as the government just taking it. And Penn Central gave us that multi-factor test to figure out when regulations cross the line. So did those cases overturn Hatacek?
Well, not so fast. Lucas and Penn Central definitely shook things up, but Hatacek still pops up in modern law. It's kind of wild.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
What's interesting is one of the big takeaways from Hatacek that a drop in property value by itself doesn't automatically mean a taking that's still true today, a cornerstone of takings law.
So even if your property value takes a hit after a new regulation, you can't just yell, taking, and expect a payout.
Exactly. Gotta have more than just a dip in value. Hatacek established that over a century ago, and courts still cite it. Even with Lucas's stricter total takings rule, Hatacek probably wouldn't have won his case. Remember, his land still had some value, even if it was way less.
It's like Hatacek is this legal chameleon, adapting to new legal landscapes while keeping its core ideas. It shows that struggle between individual property rights and the government's power to regulate for, well, the public good.
You nailed it. It's this balancing act, and courts are always trying to figure out where the line is. And as cities keep changing, these questions are just going to get more complex and more important.
So what's the lesson here for our listeners who might be dealing with zoning headaches or worried about regulations messing with their property values?
Hatacek teaches us that proving a regulatory taking is tough. You can't just point to a drop in value and call it a day. Got to show that the government acted unreasonably or overstepped their authority.
So what's the best strategy if you want to challenge a regulation?
Documentation is key. Gather proof of the harm the regulation's causing and be ready to argue that the government's reasoning is shaky or just plain arbitrary. It's not enough to just tell a sob story about your property value. Got to build a solid legal case with evidence to back it up.
So hard evidence, strong arguments, no emotional appeals.
Exactly. And it's super important to remember, Hatacek is different from cases where the government actually seizes your property, like a physical taking. Those are under different rules, and it's usually easier to prove your case.
Makes sense. Different situations need different legal game plans. But this all leads to a bigger question, doesn't it? What does Hatacek tell us about how legal thinking changes over time? It's amazing how a case from 1915 can still be relevant today.
Hatacek gives us a peek into how our understanding of constitutional rights can shift over time. What seemed like a black and white property rights issue back then is way more nuanced a century later. It reminds us that legal principles aren't set in stone. They're constantly being reinterpreted and refined as society changes.
So it's like Hatacek is both a product of its time and a case that's still talking to us today. Shows how one case can have this lasting impact on legal thinking.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder what other legal principles that we think are settled might be reinterpreted in the future. What issues we think are closed cases might be seen in a whole new light as society's values and legal thinking evolve.
That is a thought-provoking question. The law is like a living, breathing thing, always adapting to new challenges and perspectives, always more to learn, more layers to uncover. That's what makes these deep dives so fascinating.
I couldn't agree more. Exploring these complex legal issues, we uncover all these hidden connections that shape our world.
It really highlights how a single legal case, even one from over a century ago, can have a ripple effect that extends far beyond its initial context.
And it raises a fascinating question for all of us. What legal precedents that seem solid today might be reinterpreted in the future? What issues that we consider settled might be seen in a completely new light as societal values and legal thinking evolve?
That's a thought-provoking question to ponder. It reminds us that the law is a living, breathing thing, constantly adapting to new challenges and perspectives.
Absolutely. And it's that constant evolution, that ongoing conversation about rights and responsibilities that makes the study of law so compelling.
It certainly does. Hatacek v. Sebastian is a perfect example of how a deep dive into a single case can open up a world of insights into the legal landscape, both past and present.
I couldn't agree more. It's a reminder that legal history isn't just a collection of dusty old cases. It's a living tapestry that continues to shape our world in profound ways.
Well said. And for all of our listeners out there, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those legal minds sharp.
Always be on the lookout for those intriguing cases and legal developments. You never know what hidden gems you might uncover or what future legal battles are brewing right now.
And if you come across any particularly fascinating cases or news items, we'd love to hear from you. We're always searching for our next deep dive.
Until then, happy lawyering, everyone. Yeah, it really shows how much they emphasize the government's power, you know, to regulate for the common good, like they saw it anyway. And remember, zoning was pretty new back then.
Right, it was.
Hatacek kind of set the stage for all the zoning laws that popped up in the 1920s, you know, really shaped how our cities look today.
So Hatacek wasn't just about bricks and clay. It really impacted how cities developed, which makes you wonder, does Hatacek still hold up today? Especially with later cases like Lucas and Penn Central. They seem to have much stricter rules about when the government has to pay up for regulations that just, like, crush your property value.
That's the big question, isn't it? Those later cases definitely raised the bar, you know? They made it tougher for the government to just get away with regulations that really hurt property owners.
Yeah, like Lucas, for example. It established that total takings rule, didn't it? Yeah. Basically saying, if a regulation completely wipes out any way you can use your land to make money, it's basically the same as if the government just took it from you outright. And then Penn Central gave us that multi-factor test to figure out, like, when a regulation has gone too far. So did those cases overturn Hatacek?
Well, it's not that straightforward. Lucas and Penn Central definitely changed things, but Hatacek still comes up in legal arguments even today.
Really? That's kind of surprising.
What's interesting is a key principle from Hatacek, you know, that just because your property value drops doesn't automatically mean it's a taking. That idea is still true today. It's like a fundamental concept in takings law.
So even if a new regulation tanks your property value, you can't just shout taking and expect to get paid.
Exactly. You need more than just a decrease in value. Hatacek set that precedent over 100 years ago, and courts still refer to it. Even with Lucas's stricter total takings rule, Hatacek probably wouldn't have won. His land still had some value, right? Even if it was way less.
It's like, Hatacek is this, like, legal chameleon adapting to new legal situations while still holding on to its core ideas. It shows how tricky it is to balance those individual property rights with the government's power to regulate. You know, for the public good, as they say.
You got it. It's this constant balancing act, and the courts are always trying to figure out where to draw the line. And as our cities continue to grow and change, these issues are only going to become more complex and even more important.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners then? You know, for those who might be dealing with zoning issues or worried about regulations impacting their property values, what can they learn from Hatacek?
Well, Hatacek shows us that proving a regulatory taking is really difficult. It's not enough to just show that your property value went down. You have to prove that the government was unreasonable or overstepped their boundaries.
So if someone wants to challenge a regulation, what's their best approach?
Documentation is crucial. Gather evidence that shows how much harm the regulation is causing. And be ready to argue that the government's reasons for the regulation are weak or arbitrary. It's not enough to tell a sad story about your property value taking a hit. You need to build a solid legal case based on evidence.
So hard evidence, strong legal arguments, no emotional pleas.
Exactly. And it's really important to distinguish Hatacek from cases where the government actually seizes your property, like in a physical taking. Those cases have different rules, and it's usually easier to prove your case.
That makes sense. Different situations call for different legal strategies, right? But this leads to a bigger question, doesn't it? What does Hatacek tell us about how legal thinking evolves over time? It's fascinating how a case from 1915 can still be relevant to legal arguments today.
It's true. Hatacek gives us a glimpse into how our understanding of constitutional rights can shift over time. What seemed like a clear-cut property rights issue back then is much more complicated now, a century later. It's a reminder that legal principles aren't set in stone. They're constantly being reinterpreted and refined as society changes.
So Hatacek is both a product of its time and a case that continues to speak to us today. It shows how a single case can have a lasting impact on how we think about the law.
Exactly. And it makes you wonder, what other legal principles that seem settled right now might be reinterpreted in the future? What issues we consider closed cases might be seen in a totally new light as society's values and legal thinking evolve?
It really makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What other legal principles that we take for granted today might be reinterpreted in the future? What seems settled now could be totally different as society changes and legal thinking evolves.
Exactly. It's a great question to consider. It reminds us that the law isn't static. It's always adapting to new challenges and new ways of thinking.
It really is.
Yeah.
And it's that constant evolution that keeps things interesting, right?
Absolutely. That ongoing conversation about rights and responsibilities, that's what makes studying law so fascinating.
It certainly does. You know, Hatacek v. Sebastian is a perfect example of how digging deep into a single case can unlock a whole world of insights into the legal landscape, both past and present.
Couldn't agree more. It reminds us that legal history isn't just a bunch of dusty old cases, you know? It's a living, breathing thing that still shapes our world today.
Well said. Ugh. Well, that brings us to the end of another deep dive. And to all our listeners out there, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking those tough questions, and keep those legal minds sharp.
Always be on the lookout for those fascinating cases and legal developments. You never know what hidden gems you might find or what future legal battles are brewing right now.
And hey, if you stumble across any particularly interesting cases or news stories, we'd love to hear from you. We're always on the hunt for our next deep dive.
Until then, happy lawyering, everyone.